The clock is ticking. If state lawmakers do not fully fund basic education by the end of the legislative session, they could face unprecedented sanctions. What's standing in the way of that funding? KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins joins me now. Hi, Austin.
Hi, Marcy.
Well, aside from money, let's put that in the corner a sec. What hurdles do state lawmakers have to leap over here?
Well, keep in mind that we now have divided control of the state legislature. So Democrats with a thin majority in the Washington House, Republicans with a thin majority in the Washington Senate, and they have different ideas for how to reform and fund education going forward. Republicans several years ago adopted the reforms before revenue mantra. Basically, their belief is that before more money gets put into education, there need to be some changes specifically around how teachers are hired and fired. So essentially, Republicans want to move away from a seniority-based system to a performance-based system, and that has resulted in vehement, and I quote, vehement opposition from the Washington Education Association.
Well, let's start with these performance measurements. Listeners may recall that Washington State lost its federal No Child Left Behind waiver over the whole performance testing. So what do supporters of this sort of performance measurement want to see?
And with the loss of that waiver went control of about $40 million right. in federal money that had been given to Washington school districts to help struggling students. Also, as a result of losing that waiver, most Washington parents got a notice last year saying their kid's school is now in the failing category. So the proposal from the Washington Senate Republicans is to require that part of a teacher or principal's performance evaluation, their own yearly performance evaluation, be based on student performance on a federally mandated statewide standardized test. That's what the No Child Left Behind waiver demands. If Washington were to pass this law, then theoretically the state would win back its waiver.
Well, who opposes this besides the teachers union?
Well, I should note that one Senate Democrat, Mark Mullett, is a co-sponsor of this bill.
Oh.
Many other Democrats, though, seem to be siding with the teachers union or sort of taking a neutral position. The WEA, on the other hand, the teachers union, says this is part of an anti-teacher campaign. On its website, the WEA says proposals like this are, quote, disrespectful and punitive and amount to an attack on teachers. And they also say that measures like this are a distraction from the Supreme Court mandate for lawmakers to fully fund public schools, which is the subject you said a moment ago we're taking off the table. But they're saying, no, that's got to be the focus.
But if Republicans say they're not going to do anything without reforms, and the majority of the Democrats say money first, reforms later, it doesn't sound like a lot of progress is going to be made on that particular issue.
This is one of those areas where you have the potential for the discussion around full funding or the next big down payment for public schools to sort of run off the rails, because there will be a fight over the policy before they get to the while they're getting to the funding decision.
I'm with KUOW's Olympia correspondent, Austin Jenkins. And I know you were talking about hiring and firing. So what about, let's not say firing, let's say layoffs. How does the state determine right now who gets laid off in a public school?
Okay, so currently when districts issue RIF notices, and I remember this happening when I was a student in the Seattle Public Schools eons ago, and it was, you know, a stressful time and teachers were getting these notices. It didn't mean necessarily they would be laid off, but because of the lack of clarity about the budget, it meant they might be. So right now it's done basically by seniority. So the newer teachers get their RIFs first. Another Republican-backed measure would instead require that past performance evaluations be the basis for determining the order in which teachers are laid off. And then only if there is a tie in performance between two teachers would the teacher's seniority win out over another teacher. But this would be moving away from seniority-based layoffs to performance-based layoffs.
And I'm assuming the same people who don't like the performance evaluations are not hot on that idea.
Right. I mean, we're seeing the union once again say that this is about that it's unfair, that teaching is a career, and that to start taking away seniority as a value is unfair. The union is also unhappy with another provision in that bill that basically gives principals hiring power over who's in their building. It's called mutual consent. The teacher and the principal both have to agree to be in that building. The teachers union views it, though, as the principal having a lot of power over those decisions and potentially having a chilling effect on teachers trying to move from school to school, et cetera.
These sound like huge issues, Austin. Just to go back to that McCleary decision, which is the state Supreme Court decision mandating full funding for basic education, what is the deadline for all of this?
Well, I guess technically it's April 26th when the when this 105-day session runs out, unless, of course, they go into overtime. You know, what the Supreme Court has said is that the legislature and the state is in contempt of court over not making enough progress toward full funding, but that it decided to hold off on sanctions until it sees what happens in this legislative session. So they have until the end of session, and then the Supreme Court gets to decide if it's satisfied or not.
Well, we'll be watching that along with you. KUOW's Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.